The King's Court. Read. I had a rock in my boot. It had lodged there immediately upon entering the tunnels, small enough for me to endure, large enough for me to fixate. With each step, it jostled against my foot, curling my toes, setting my teeth on edge. Or perhaps that was Beau. He'd thrown back his hood in the semi-darkness, and he strolled through the earthen tunnels with hands in his pockets, torchlight flickered over his smirk.
So many rendezvous down here. So many memories.
The rock slid under my heel. I shook my foot irritably.
I don't want to know.
Apparently, however, Madame Lebel did. She arched a brow, lifted her skirt to step over a divot in the earth.
Come now, Your Highness. I've heard rumors your exploits are grossly exaggerated.
His eyes widened.
Excuse me?
I owned a brothel, she fixed him with a pointed look. Word spread.
What word? I don't want to hear,
I repeated. It was her turn to smirk.
You forget I knew you as a child,
Beauregard.
I remember the gap in your teeth and the spots on your chin. And then, when you developed that unfortunate stutter,
cheeks flushing, he thrust out his chest, nearly stumbling on another rock. I hoped it found quarter in his heel.
I didn't develop a stutter, he said, indignant. That was a complete and utter misunderstanding.
I kicked at the air surreptitiously, and the rock caught between my toes.
You had a stutter? No,
Madame Lebel cackled.
Tell him the story, dear. I'd quite like to hear it again.
How do you...
I told you. Brothels are hotbeds of information.
She winked at him.
And I do intend that pun.
He looked mutinous. Though pink still tinged his cheeks, he expelled a breath, blowing a limp strand of hair from his eye. Madame Lebel's smile broadened with expectation.
Fine,
he snapped.
As I'm sure you heard the incorrect story, I will set the matter straight. I lost my virginity to a celismophiliac.
I stared at him, the rock in my boot forgotten.
A what? A celismophiliac, he repeated irritably. Someone who is aroused by stuttering. Her name was Apollinia. She was a chambermaid in the castle and several years older than me, the beautiful hag.
I blinked once, twice. Madame Lebel cackled louder. Gleeful.
Go on, she said.
He glared at her.
You can imagine how our encounter proceeded. I thought her fetish normal. I thought everyone enjoyed stuttering in the bedchamber.
Recognizing the horror in my eyes, he nodded fervently.
Yes, you see the problem, don't you? When I found my next lover, a peer in my father's court, I'm sure you can imagine how that encounter proceeded as well.
He lifted a hand to his eyes.
God, I've never been so mortified in my entire life. I was forced to flee to these very tunnels to escape his laughter. I couldn't look him in the eye for a year.
He snapped his hand to his side in agitation.
A year!
An unfamiliar tickle built in my throat. I pursed my lips against it, bit my cheek. It escaped anyway, and I laughed, sharp and clear, for the first time in a long time.
It's not funny,
Beau snapped, as Madame Lebel joined in. She bent double, clutching her ribs, her shoulders shaking.
Stop laughing! Stop it now!
At long last, she wiped a tear from her eye.
Oh, Your Majesty, I shall never tire of that story, which is, in fact, the story my girls thought so amusing. If it soothes your wounded pride, I'll confess, I too have experienced my share of humiliating encounters. I often perused these tunnels myself as a younger woman. Why, there was a time your father spirited me down here.
No, Beau shook his head swiftly, waving a hand. No, do not finish that sentence.
But there was a feral cat,
she chuckled to herself, lost in memory.
We didn't notice him until it was too late. He mistook part of your father's anatomy, or rather two parts of your father's anatomy.
The laughter died in my own throat.
Stop,
for a plaything. Oh, you should have heard Auguste's shrieks. One would have thought the cat had gutted his liver instead of scratched his...
Enough! Horrified, wide-eyed with disbelief, Bo physically clapped a hand over her mouth. She snorted against his fingers. Never, ever tell that story again. Do you understand me? Ever!
He shook his head sharply, clenching his eyes shut.
The psychological scars you've just inflicted, woman? I cannot unsee what my mind's eye has conjured.
She knocked his hand away, still laughing.
Don't be such a prude, Beauregard. Surely you understand your father's extracurricular activities, given the situation we're all...
Her smile slipped, and the playful atmosphere between us vanished instantly. She cleared her throat.
What I mean to say is...
We shouldn't talk anymore.
With a grim expression, mouth drawn, Bo pointed ahead to a northward tunnel.
We're nearing the castle. Listen.
Sure enough, in the quiet that followed, muffled footsteps could be heard overhead.
Right.
I knelt to wrench off my boot, shook the damn rock free, and replaced it. No more distractions.
Though I appreciated Madame LaBelle's attempt to lift our spirits, this wasn't the time or the place.
It hadn't been the time or place in weeks.
We walked the rest of the way in silence. As the tunnel sloped gradually upward, the voices grew louder, as did my heartbeat. I shouldn't have been nervous. I'd seen the king before, seen him, talked to him, dined with him. But I'd been a huntsman then, esteemed, celebrated, and he'd been my king. Everything had changed. Now I was a witch, reviled, and he was my father.
Everything will be fine.
Madame LaBelle whispered, as if reading my thoughts. She nodded to me, to herself.
You are his child. He will not harm you. Even the Archbishop did not burn his child, and Auguste is twice the man the Archbishop was.
I flinched at the words, but she'd already turned to the cavernous fissure in the wall. The warp and weft of a muted tapestry covered it. I recognized it from my brief time in the castle. A man and a woman in the Garden of Eden, naked, fallen before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In their hands, each held a golden fruit. Above them, a giant serpent coiled. I stared at the reverse of its black coils now, feeling sick.
Watch through here, Bo breathed, pointing to a thin gap between the wall and tapestry. Less than an inch, bodies shifted beyond it. Aristocrats and clergymen from all over the kingdom, all over the world. An assemblage of black caps, veils, and lace. Their low voices reverberated in a steady hum. And there, raised on a stone dais, draped over a colossal throne, sat Auguste Léon. From the window directly behind, a shaft of sunlight traced his silhouette, his gilded crown, and golden hair, his fur cape and broad shoulders. The placement of the window, the throne, they'd been arranged intentionally, an optical illusion to trick the eye into believing his very body emitted light. Backlit, however, his face remained shadowed. But I could still see his smile. He laughed with three young women, heedless of Queen Oleana beside him. She stared determinedly at nothing, expression as stony as the steps beneath her. In the corner of the room, a handful of aristocrats in foreign clothing shared her features, shared her anger. Theirs were the only sober faces in the room. Resentment prickled beneath my skin as I took in the bards, the wine, the food. These people did not mourn the Archbishop. How dare they mock his death with their revelry? How dare they speak idly beneath black hoods? No mourning veil could hide their apathy, their hedonism. These people, these animals, did not deserve to grieve him. On the heels of that thought, however, came another. Shame burned away my righteousness. Neither did I. Bo beat the dust from his cloak, smoothed his hair as best he could. It did little to help his travel-worn appearance.
Right. I'll enter the proper way and request an audience. If he's amenable, you'll call us forward, I finished, mouth dry.
Right. He nodded, kept nodding.
Right. And if he's not, he waited expectantly, brows climbing upward each second I didn't answer, I need to hear a confirmation read. My lips barely moved. We run. Madame Lebel clasped my forearms. Everything will be fine, she repeated. Beau didn't look convinced. With one last nod, he strode in the opposite direction from whence we'd come. Unconsciously, I stepped closer to the gap between wall and tapestry, waited for him to reappear, watched as two familiar figures cut toward the dais. Pierre Tremblay and Jean-Luc. Expression drawn, stricken, Jean-Luc pushed Tremblay forward with inappropriate force. Those nearest the king stilled. Tremblay was a vicomte. Jean-Luc assaulting him, in public no less, was a punishable offense. Frowning, Auguste waved the women away, and the two climbed the dais steps. They leaned close to whisper in Auguste's ear. Though I couldn't hear their hasty words, I watched as Auguste's frown deepened, as Oleana leaned forward, concerned. The throne room doors burst open a moment later, and Beau strode in. Audible gasps filled the chamber. All conversation ceased. One woman even emitted a small shriek. He winked at her.
Bonjour, everyone. I am sorry if I kept you waiting.
To his mother's family in the corner, he added in a softer voice,
Lorana.
Tears filled Oleana's eyes as she leapt to her feet.
Arava!
Metwabain.
Upon seeing her, Beau's smile warmed to something genuine. He tilted his head to peer behind her at someone I couldn't see.
Mon tuaine iti.
When delighted squeals answered him, my heart stuttered painfully. Two someones, Violette and Victoire. I pressed closer, trying in vain to see them, but Madame Lebel pulled me back. Auguste stiffened visibly at his son's arrival. His eyes never left Beau's face.
The prodigal son returns.
Père?
Beau's smirk reappeared. His armor, I realized.
Didn't you miss me?
Absolute silence reigned as Auguste studied his son's rumpled hair, his filthy clothes.
You disappoint me. I assure you, the sentiment is mutual.
Auguste smiled. It held more promise than a knife.
Do you think you're clever?
He asked softly. He still didn't bother to rise.
Do you mean to embarrass me with this tawdry display?
With a lazy flick of his wrist, he gestured around the chamber.
By all means, do continue. Your audience is rapt. Tell them of how disappointed you are in your father, the man who ravaged the countryside for weeks to find his son. Tell them of how your mother wept herself to sleep all those nights, waiting for word. Tell them of how she prayed to her gods and mine for your return.
Now he did stand.
Tell them, Beauregard, of how your sisters slipped out of the castle to find you, how a witch nearly cut off their heads.
Fresh gasps sounded as Beau's eyes widened. Auguste descended the steps slowly.
They're all waiting to hear, son. Tell them of your new companions. Tell them of the witches and werewolves you call friends. Perhaps they're already acquainted. Perhaps your companions have murdered their families.
His lip curled.
Tell them of how you abandoned your family to help the daughter of La Dame de Sorcière, the daughter whose blood could kill not only you, but also your sisters. Tell them of how you freed her.
He reached Beau at last, and the two stared at each other. For a second, for an eternity. Auguste's voice quieted.
I have long tolerated your indiscretions, but this time, you go too far.
Beau tried to sneer.
You haven't tolerated them. You've ignored them. Your opinion means less to me now than it ever has. My opinion,
Auguste snarled, fisting the front of Beau's shirt,
is the only reason you haven't been lashed to a stake. You dare to dismiss me. You dare to challenge your father for the sake of a witch's dirty cunt.
Auguste shoved him away, and Beau stumbled, blanching. No one lifted a hand to steady him.
It isn't like that. You are a child!
At the venom in Auguste's voice, the aristocrats drew back further.
A cosseted child in a gilded tower who has never tasted the blood of war or smelled the stench of death. Do you fancy yourself a hero now, son? After a fortnight of playing pretend with your friends, do you call yourself a warrior? Do you plan to save us?
He shoved him again.
Have you ever seen a Lugaru feast on the intestines of a soldier? And again, have you ever watched a Dame Blanche desiccate a newborn babe?
Beau struggled to his feet.
They wouldn't do that. Lou wouldn't.
You are a child and a fool, Auguste said coldly.
And you have humiliated me for the last time.
Expelling a hard breath from his nose, he straightened to his full height.
My height.
But I am not without mercy. Captain Toussaint told me of your grand plan to defeat La Dame des Sorcières. Tell me the location of her daughter, and all will be forgiven.
No.
Panic caught in my throat. I forgot to breathe, to think. I could only watch as Beau's eyes widened, as he yielded a step to his father.
I can't do that.
Auguste's face hardened.
You will tell me where she is, or I will strip you of your title and inheritance.
Shocked whispers erupted, but Auguste ignored them. His voice growing louder with each word, with each step.
Oleana touched a hand to her mouth in horror. I will banish you from my castle and my life. I will condemn you as a criminal, a conspirator, and when you burn beside your friends, I will think of you no more.
Father,
Beau said, aghast, but Auguste did not stop.
Where is she?
Beau's gaze darted helplessly to his mother. But she merely closed her eyes, weeping softly. He cleared his throat and tried again. I held my breath.
I can't tell you where she is because I don't know.
Freer!
From behind Oleana, a beautiful girl with Beau's black hair and tawny skin darted forward. My chest seized as she wrung her hands, as Auguste swept her backward, away from Beau.
Freer, please tell him where she is. Tell him!
Her twin raced to join them. Though she glared, her chin quivered.
You don't need to beg, Violette. Of course you'll tell him. The witches tried to kill us.
Beau's voice turned strangled.
Victoire.
Auguste's eyes narrowed.
You would protect a witch over your own sisters.
We should go. Madame Lebelle tugged fruitlessly on my arm, her breathing shallow, panicked.
This was a mistake. Clearly, Auguste won't help us.
We can't just leave him.
Beau lifted his hands, gesturing to the aristocrats.
It doesn't have to be this way. They aren't all evil. If you just help us, we can eliminate Morgane. She's in the city, here, now, and she's planning something terrible for the archbishop's funeral.
Madame Lebel pulled more insistently. Read.
You truly are a fool.
Auguste wrapped a possessive arm around each of his daughters, dragging them backward.
I must confess, however, I'm not surprised. Though you loathe me, I know you, son. I know your habits. I know your haunts. For fear of losing your newfound friends, I knew you would visit me on this foolish errand.
Vaguely, I recognized the sound of footsteps behind me, of voices. Madame Lebelle clawed at my arm now, shouting my name. But my mind followed too slow, sluggish. The realization came too late. I turned, just as Auguste said.
And I knew you would use the tunnels to do it.
Liberty Gibbet!
Beau's shouts filled the chamber as he whirled toward us with wild eyes.
Bumfuzzle!
The hilt of a balisarda smashed into my temple, and I saw no more.